Yeah, a few new points. Okay, we'll try to give a little bit of an overview of preparation before Pesach, particularly how to get around the problems of owning chametz, eating chametz, etc. We can come up with the next couple of minutes. So the opening Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, starts with the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. Earlier, Bosa bedikas chametz ne'ohaner. So the Gemara is quick to point out, and the Dalad Pesachim, that the whole institution of bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan. Min haTorah, somehow we can solve the problem in other ways. We have to figure out what those other ways are. But the whole idea of going under the beds with a flashlight and looking around, checking in the nooks and crannies, that whole institution of bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan. Since it's only midrabbanan, Yilfat HaChamim gave us certain kulas that would not have applied if it would have been the araisas. That's the context of the statement in Maseches Pesachim and Aleph Beis. And the Gemara says, therefore, if a katan tells us that he performed bedikas chametz, we believe him. Obviously, if a 2-year-old tells you did bedikas chametz, it's probably not such a good job. But if a 10, 11-year-old kid who knows how to do it tells you that he or she did bedikas chametz, you would be able to believe them. So the Gemara says, why is that? So if bedikas chametz would have been required min haTorah, when it comes to the Dirim D'Araisa, a katan doesn't have ne'amanos. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Siman of Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, Shulchan Aruch writes that if a katan is sent to be Tevel Kelim, you can't trust him that he did it. A katan in theory can be Tevel Kelim. If you're standing there and watching him and he puts it into the water, the tefillah is good. If a kli falls into the water by itself, we pass it, it's also good. But the katan wouldn't have ne'amanos to say that he did the Tefilas Kelim because the Shulchan Aruch is quoting Trumas Hadesh, and it was Choshesh for those who showed him that Tefilas Kelim was actually D'Araisa. So when it comes to mitzvahs d'araisa, the katan does have ne'amanos. But here the Gemara says a katan would have ne'amanos because hemnu v'rabbanan b'd'rabbanan. Since the whole institution of bedikas chametz is on b'd'rabbanan, so the chacham ma'am in the katan. Are there any other kulas that apply to bedikas chametz, basing on the fact that it's only b'd'rabbanan? So our initial reaction would be, well, all sveikas should be l'kula. Whenever you have a suffix in bedikas chametz, so the chacham would make sense that we should be making because suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. That's what some mishnayim say. Tosfos writes that way in the first parak of Pesachim. The bedikas chametz, as long as it's not a problem, there is. As long as minatari has solved the problem of chametz in some other matter, whenever you're dealing with the mitzvah, the rabbanon of bedikas chametz, it's subject to the same kula as a sveka, the rabbanon of the kula. So the Magid Mishnah disagrees. The Magid Mishnah suggests that maybe bedikas chametz is different from all other mitzvahs, the rabbanon, because the whole institution of bedikas chametz was ala sofek. If I know I have chametz, I don't need bedikas chametz. I just go after the chametz, take it, and throw it out. So the whole kind of bedikas chametz was to be chayshish for safik chametz. So says the Magid Mishnah, I get to turn around and say that, well, if I have a suffix, whether I'm a chuyu bedikas chametz or don't do bedikas chametz, then you never have to do bedikas chametz because bedikas chametz is always ala suffix. So whenever you have a takanas chametz that was instituted ala suffix, that's going to trump the regular dinim of suffix d'rabban l'kulas. That's the machlekes of Rishayim. That's the Magid Mishnah. Do we apply the regular rules of suffix d'rabban l'kulas to bedikas chametz? But putting aside that machlekes, generally the dinim d'rabbanan, we do view bedikas chametz through the eyes of a d'rabbanan because min haTorah it's not really necessary. Why is it not necessary min haTorah? So the Gemara explains because with the rice and bitul biyam masagim min haTorah, bitul chametz would be sufficient. Min haTorah, there's no need to do bedikas chametz. Does that mean that bedikas chametz is never going to be the araisa? So that's what the Rishonim point out. Let's say a guy didn't do bitul chametz. So lemaisi, he didn't do that mechanism. He didn't avail yourself of the much easier method called bitul chametz. So then bedikas chametz will be the araisa. That's what Tosfos writes in the first parak of Pesachim. That suffix bedikas chametz is lakula, says Tosfos. That's assuming that you did bitul. But if you didn't do bitul, so then obviously it becomes required on a level of the araisa. So the notion of bedikas chametz, it's not fair, it's not true to say that bedikas chametz is only midrabbanan, always midrabbanan. It's the rabbanon the way we practice. It's the rabbanon the way we're knowing that we always do bittul anyway. So b'deraisa bittul b'yamasaga. But lo yitzuya, that a person wouldn't have do bittul. Well, let's say you have a situation where it's not possible to do bittul. We spoke about this many times. Let's say a guy totally forgot and he realizes after the shah shishis, so after the chomes becomes also no, bittul isn't going to be effective. So now the guy's really up the creek. Now he can't do bittul. So now he's got to go under the table. He's got to go under the bed and find the chomet. So b'dikas chomet could potentially be a method that is required on the level of the araisa. It's just that under normal circumstances, we're not going to fall back on that.
That means it's a mitzvah araisa, or just
in order
to stop you from...
It's not. It's not. The chumash davar shemashleim of bibo di chametz. One could argue maybe it's part of the mitzvah of tashbisu. That's if tashbisu means to destroy the chametz, so bedik is the introduction. You can't destroy what you don't have, what you can't find. But I call Palamander 99.99% of the time, bedikas chametz is done in midrabanan, because min haTorah we solved the problem with midrais and bitul b'yamasagim. So there is a big machlekes in Rishonim we spoke about many times, but that was the whole purpose of today's shiur to review. So we spoke about many times. There's a big machlekes in Rishonim. What exactly is this entity called bitul all about? What do the words mean? That min haTorah bitul chametz is sufficient. So So Rashi has this famous comment from the Avdal and Emsachim in the Rambam in Perek Beis, in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, that Bitul Chametz is basically a declaration, or according to many Rishonim, not even an oral declaration, maybe just the mindset, that the Chametz is Ke'afer Di'ara, that I don't really care about the Chametz, it's worthless, it's meaningless, and therefore I've solved the world's problems. How have I solved the world's problems exactly? So Rashi says, you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The Torah says, Ach Biyam Rishon Tashbisu. Tashbisu means to do something. What is that something? So it doesn't say to va'arun chametz, Rashi says. It doesn't say to burn the chametz. It doesn't say to flush it down the toilet. It says to be mashbis the chametz. What does it mean to be mashbis? Hashbasa b'leiv zui hashbasa. As the Targum Mukhlis says, tevatlun. On the taich of the Pasuk, Tashbisu means tevatlun. So Rashi and Rama are both of the opinion that the way, the mechanism that Bitul Chametz works in the Torah is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. How does that solve the whole problem? So I fulfilled the mitzvah of Tashbisu, but it could be that the Chametz is still there. Aren't I still in violation of Bai Ravei Matzei? So you have to say an additional chiddush according to Rashi and the Rambam. You have to say that there's a link between the mitzvah of Tashbisu and the Isur of Bai Ravei Matzei. It's not just coincidentally there are three different mitzvahs about owning chametz. There's a mitzvah zaseh and then there are two lavim. No, it's a package deal. The way to fulfill, the way to avoid violation of the los zaseh is to fulfill the zaseh. So if I met the Torah's criteria to fulfill the mitzvah zaseh, then I'm no longer in violation of Bai Ravei Matzei. So according to Rashi, you have to go a jump. You have to say that Tashbisu is tevatlun, and once you did Tashbisu, but mainly you're not going to be over Bai Ravei Matzei anymore. So Taisus has a radically different version of what's going on in this entire sugya. The Balei Taisus and the Avdal Rebbe say that Tashbisu is not fulfilled to Bittul. Tashbisu requires some kind of a physical destruction, whatever that may be, Rebbe Nechum, we'll talk a little bit later on. But Tashbisu is not fulfilled to Bittul for sure not. So what is with the Reis of Bittul B'Yamasagi? So Taisus says with the Reis of Bittul B'Yamasagi means that you circumvented by Rav Matzeh, because the chametz isn't yours. The din is your only oyv shalchot yarav at arosh alachem shulgava. So Taisa says, what's the difference between having a goy's chametz in your rishus, having hektish's chametz in your rishus, and having hefkish's chametz in your rishus? If it's not yours, you're not over by Rav Matzeh. So if you're not over by Rav Matzeh, the chametz shall hefkir. So b'meila, that's what bittul is. Bittul is nothing new. Bittul is not a posuk in chumash. Bittul is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. You don't get any credit in Shemayim for doing bittul. Bittul, it's like selling your chametz. If you sold the chametz to a guy, and now it's sitting in your house, you're not over by Ravei Matzei. You don't get a mitzvah by selling it to the guy. You just avoid the violation of by Ravei Matzei. So to over here, they're being mafke the chametz. You're avoiding the violation of by Ravei Matzei. How come Rashi didn't think of that? How come Rashi somehow didn't view Bittul through the eyes of the Balei Taisus? How come Rashi thought there has to be some kind of a fulfillment of Tashbisu? How come the Rambam doesn't say that it's Bitam Hefker, that it's Mafkia by Ravei Matzeh? How come Rashi and the Rambam had to go fishing, had to go searching for a new mitzvah, for a Din Prati Anuchas Pesach, a Din Prati Anuchas Tashbisu, a new Pasuk in Chumash Gzeiras HaKosov to teach us the concept of Bittul? It sounds from Rashi and the Rambam that Taisus may not be right, that maybe one would violate by Ravei Matzeh and Chametz Shel Hefker. Why would that be? How could you even dream of violating by Ravei Matzeh and Chametz Shel Hefker according to these Rishonim? So there's a famous Ktzos that Ktzos points out that this may be the Rambam Meshitasai. That the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, I don't think we talked about this Rambam, you know? talk a little new stuff. The Rambam in Perek Beis in Hilchos Nedarim has a very, very strange formulation about the concept of Hefker. If you ask most people, Hefker is a din and din mamnus. Hefker belongs in Hilchos Mechira, Hilchos Kinyanim. So the Rambam puts all the dinim of Hefker in Hilchos Nedarim. And the Rambam writes that a Hefker is like a neder. When I'm mafkir something, basically what I'm saying is, it's no longer mine, I'm not going to take it back anymore, I'm going to leave it there. If I choose to actually go and pick it up again, I'm zeichim in Hefker, then I'm no different from anybody else, I'm no worse than anybody else. But if a person just says, I'm mafkir this, this car, and then he says, no, I'm changing my mind, I'm not mafkir anymore. He doesn't go pick up the car, he just says, no, I'm not mafkir, I changed my mind. So the Rambam points at him and says, you just violated by Yachal Devaro. The Torah says you're supposed to be honest. The Torah says you're not supposed to change your word. So you said that you're treating it as hefker. Now you have to fulfill that neder. It's a hefker is already kamin on the daramu, says the Rambam. It's like a quasi neder. It falls under the category of bal yachal devaru. So come the acharonim and jump on the Rambam and say that's the reason why you can't just change your mind when you mafkir something. The reason why you can't change your mind when you mafkir something is because it's not yours anymore. If I sell you a car and you drive off with the car and now I come screaming, knocking on your door and say, give me the car back. That's a violation of my Yachal Devaro. That's not why I can't back out. I can't back out because it's not mine anymore. Because I made a kinyan. I was maksa to you. It belongs to you. What do you mean I can back out? What kind of joke is that? The whole parasha of Mekach HaMemkach. The Torah speaks about parshas kinyanim. The Torah gives us mechanisms of kinyanim. There are methods of kinyanim. The whole understanding of a kinyan means that it's no longer mine. Of course I can't back anymore. So what is the Rambam telling me that I can't back out after a mafki or something because of bal yachol devaro? So the Ketzai says, because the Rambam's understanding is that hefker is not a kinyan. Hefker still belongs to me. When a mafki is something, it's still mine. In dini mamonis and bialis, I'm the chesh mishpat owner of this object. Elohab is an issa chazara. I'm not allowed to back out. I'm not allowed to just stop and cancel my words. That's a violation of my yachol devaro. But in terms of dini mamonis, it's still mine. It belongs to me 100%. So comes the Ketzai and says, that's the Rambam l'shitasa. That's why the Rambam could not go the route of the Bali HaTosis. The Rambam couldn't say that Chomet Shel Hefker, oh, don't worry about it, you're not over by Rav Motze. It's not true. You are over by Rav Motze on Chomet Shel Hefker, because Hefker still belongs to you. It's 100% yours with an Issach Hazara on it. So I call upon him, there is a Machlekes of Rishayim, Rashi and the Rambam against Tosfos, how Bittul works. Bittul for sure works in a Torah. Is Bittul a Kim of Tashbisa, or is Bittul a circumvention of by Rav Motze? At the end of the day, who cares? At the end of the day, men of Kamina, whether it's Tashbis or whether it's by avoiding by Rav Motze, we're going to do it anyway. So you have a few Nafkaminas Ladina. So one possible Nafkamina would be where the Bittul has to be articulated. You have to actually spell out, you have to actually say the Nusach of Bittul. So if you hold that Bittul is Mitam Tashbisu, as the Rashi says, as the Rambam writes, Hashbasa believes Zui Hashbasa, then there's no reason to believe that it has to be spelled out. So the fact that you're in a mindset that I'm thinking this is not Choshev to me, that in and of itself, is sufficient. If you hold that it's dinuk hefker, so then usually we think of hefker as something which requires dibur. If I'm mafke something, believe. You know, mafke believe. I decide that I'm mafke this car, but I don't say it to anybody. I don't spell it out. So that's not considered to be hefker. So the chora according to Tosfos would make a lot of sense that I have to be mafke mamish v'peh. And would it be sufficient just to do hefker believe? Last one wants to argue that maybe the reason why hefker believe normally is not good is because Dvarim should believe Enim Dvarim. That normally I can't create a chalois just believe alone. But let's say I have a situation where it's so clear that this is what I'm planning on doing. It's what's called an Umdra Demuchach. It's so obvious that this is my kavana, so maybe one can argue that Dvarim should believe would be Dvarim. If some Achranim write that Bittul Chometz is Mamash an Umdra, it's Umdra Demuchach. Every firm guy, I'm standing there on Erev Pesach, I threw all the Chometz into the fire, I just saw whatever's left, and I'm saying, who knows, maybe there's a crumb here and there. And I'm thinking, and I'm shuffling away, and I'm thinking, Kol Chamir v'chamiyah, I forgot to say the words. So some Achrayim say, Dvarim should believe of Lev Kolodim, it's an Umdur in the Muchach, that's going to be Chal. So that's the case, that it's an Umdur in the Muchach, it's going to be Chal. Maybe even according to Tosfos, you wouldn't require Dibur. Maybe you can argue that. L'maisa, our minig is that we do Bittul Bepeh. We try always to do Bittul Bepeh. But probably most of the Rishonim hold that it's good enough believe. The Rambam quotes 2 days about it in the second parak. Most of the Rishonim probably hold that Bittul believe really would be good. According to Rashi, the Rambam, Chor makes a lot of sense that Bittul believe would be acceptable. And there's another machlokes that we're going to discuss. Can I point a shaliach to the Bittul for me? This is a common problem. Say a person goes to work on Erev Pesach, and they're not going to have time to burn the chametz, so they send somebody else, they hand it over to somebody, to the neighbor, they do me a favor, go bring this chametz, burn the chametz when the shul burns the chametz. So not only do they appoint the person to do bina chametz, they appoint the person to do bittul chametz as well, because they're afraid they're going to forget. I mean, in theory, they can do bittul chametz in their office also, they don't have to be standing there by the fire and dancing around to say bittul chametz, but they're afraid they're going to forget. What are they going to forget? Why don't they do bittul chametz in the morning? 7 o'clock, they finish Shacharis, they ate the Entenmann's donuts for the Siyam Becheris already, and they finished. So they're done. Why don't they do Bittul Chometz right then and there? So the Choshesh for the Ramah, because the Ramah writes that we try to be makpid to burn the Chometz before we do Bittul Chometz. Why are we so makpid to burn the Chometz before we do Bittul Chometz? Because once you've mevatel the Chometz, then the Chometz isn't yours anymore. If the Chometz isn't yours, so then you're not really fulfilling the mitzvah burning, whatever that mitzvah is, if it exists or not. So we are looked at our cup, in our mind, we have this idea that you only do bittul after it's already burnt. So this guy is going to work on Erev Pesach in the morning, so he's in a bind. Because on the one hand, he wants the chametz to be burnt. They're not going to burn the chametz till 11 o'clock in the morning. And he wants to recite the bittul after. The problem is at 11:30, he's going to be in a big meeting. He's going to forget to recite bittul. So he asks somebody to do the bittul on his behalf, to be his shaliach, to be mevatel the chametz. So some achrayim have a problem with that. And how can you appoint the person to be a shaliach to do bittul chametz? It's a funny thing. According to Tosfos, that bittul is mitam hefker. Can I appoint the person to be mafke something for me? So it's not clear that works. Not so posh. I can be appoint somebody to be mafke something for me. So I say questions whether that's true in hilchos hefker. Can you be mafke de shaliach? Not so simple. So if you hold that you can't be mafker de shliach, and you hold that bittul is like hefker, so then you may be in a little bit of a problem. You may be a little bit stuck. So if you're really afraid you're going to forget to be mevatel the chametz, the stomach makes more sense just to be mevatel in the morning. So you won't fulfill that ramah about burning chametz that belongs to you. So the Yemen says, we don't really understand that ramah. That whole ramah is very pilek ploy. What do you mean that we want to make sure that you burn your chametz? We want you to chaperine the mitzvah of burning chametz. So therefore we tell you, we drive everybody nuts and tell them, don't be mevatel the chametz until after the chametz is already burnt. And the guy's sitting and waiting for a phone call from the guy burning the chametz. We're so tzitz, we're so nervous about it. We want to fulfill this halakha ramah. But we don't understand this ramah. What does the ramah say to burn the chametz first? The marashach. If you hold like Rashi in the Rambam, that bitul chametz is a mitzvah tashbisu, so there's no difference whether you burn the chametz or you mevatel the chametz. It's also tashbisu. So my nafkamina, you have to the same tashbis according to Rashi, by throwing it to the flames and saying kol chamira. So according to Rashi, you should be mevatel the chametz. What's the big deal? What are you minatara? What are you gaining by being sore if the chametz that's yours? Eloah, what are you chayshish for? You chayshish for Tosfos. You're afraid that maybe bittul chametz is not really tashbisu. Bittul chametz is a circumvention of tashbisu. So if you do bittul chametz first, you're going to end up removing all your chametz from your rishos, and now you're going to burn chametz that doesn't really belong to you. If you're going to burn chametz that doesn't really belong to you, so you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of tashbisu. That's the concern. That's what the Ramah was afraid of. He was chayshish for Tosfos. That's also what Pelas, the Bir Agra, points out. The Baalei HaTosfos happened to hold that the mitzvah of tashbisu was only after chatzos. They held that tashbisu is not even, it's nothing before chatzos. It's zero. So what are you accomplishing? At 11 o'clock in the morning, you're burning your chametz. Tell me, who are you fulfilling a mitzvah to? According to which Risha? According to Rashi and the Rambam, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. You can fulfill the mitzvah just as easily by doing bitul chametz. Eloah, you mean chayshish for tashbisu, that you don't want to circumvent the mitzvah. You want to do mitzvahs. You don't want to run away from mitzvahs. Our goal in life is to try to run to do more and more and more mitzvahs. We want to try to obligate ourselves to mitzvahs. I was just talking to a boy last night, he's going to be my mitzvah this week. So I was talking to him a little bit about what's the simcha bar mitzvah? Why is there an Indian making a party a simcha bar mitzvah? So I told him the famous Gemara in Kedushin that when Rav Yosef was blind and he wasn't sure whether he was chayav mitzvah or not, when he finally found out that he's chayav mitzvah, he made a big party. So he asked his boy, does that make any sense? He should have made the party when he found out he was part of a mitzvah, because that way his life will be easier. He won't have to hassle to do mitzvahs. So now what do you see from Rav Yosef? You see from Rav Yosef that forget, we want to do mitzvahs. We're excited to do mitzvahs. We're running after mitzvahs. We live sometimes. Sometimes people, you know, people like to shirk responsibility. People don't want to be bothered with things today. That's in general. Not do it Jewish. Not do it halacha. Not do it Torah. People want to get off with at least, people are so, I'm not sure what they are, but they don't, in the older days, so before the Industrial Revolution, so the whole mahus of the Industrial Revolution was one, there was one goal. What was the one goal? There was one goal. To make life easier for people, that they shouldn't have to work. They used to have back-breaking work. And they would, all day they would spend making bread, and all day they're washing clothes. It was a whole day to wash the laundry. That's why the Ezra was Masakeh, and you have to do laundry on Thursday. Because it was a whole day affair. You can't do laundry on Friday. How are you going to do laundry Friday afternoon? It doesn't take us all day to do laundry. So it's time you can do laundry Friday morning also. It's Neshka Fela. So the whole Mahus for the first 5,500 years since the Brias HaOlam, but everything was so hard and so hard and so hard. So Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem gave Chochmah to people in the 1700s. They came up with these great ideas of making machines, and they made washing machines, and they made cotton gins, and they made ovens, and they made all kind of great, phenomenal things to make life easier. So lots of people should have more time. So people should be more relaxed. People should be able to do more things that they want. So what happened? So what happened is that the machines went haywire, and they made life more complicated. So the exact opposite was accomplished. The average person today has less time to do what he wants than a person 300 years ago, right? I think that's right. And what's created it? What's created is all the gadgets and all the knowledge and all the things that we've created have taken up more of our time. So the guy was saying to me, I was writing, he was saying something. This don't do a pace, I was just telling him how to get off my chair. The guy was saying that he doesn't have any time at night. He doesn't have any time to learn tonight. Why? Limited time because he was saying over what's a Seder Dvarim when he gets back from, I don't know, from work, from Scheffi, I don't know what the guy's story was. So he has to eat supper, he has to do his homework, whatever he has to do, and then it takes an hour just to touch up his Facebook page or something, every night. And he takes him an hour or so just to read all the jokes and to get everybody else's comments. So he spends an hour and a half to 2 hours a night just catching up. So we should go back to the pre-industrial revolution. Let him spend the 2 hours baking bread at night. He's not doing anything else anyway. So anyway, so why am I telling you this? So you would think that in today's world, where everything is so easy, where we have so much technology to make our lives easy, we should have so much more time. We should be so much less stressed out. We should be looking for good things to do, looking for positive things to do. So forget it. Because we're so stressed today, because we're so busy today, so we're trying to cut corners on mitzvahs also. So it's spilling over the mentality. People don't have any time to do anything. People are so taru, they're always running. It's a rat race. So people try to cut corners on mitzvahs also. They're always trying to run out. Yeah, if I can be potter, zolzara be potter. If I can get around the mitzvah, I'll get around the mitzvah. Anything that I can do to make life easier for me. So that's a terrible, terrible mentality. It's the opposite of what the Torah says. The Torah says, fakir, they were supposed to look for mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael to do mitzvahs. That the Gemara says that the Hasidim HaRishonim used to obligate themselves in Trumas and Maisers. They would bend over backwards to become Chayev in Trumas and Maisers. That's our approach. That's what our approach to mitzvah is supposed to be. So getting back to the story. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Okay. So fakir. So here we're talking about the question is: should a person be circumventing the mitzvah of tashbisa, or should the person be running after the mitzvah of tashbisa? So you should be running to do tashbisa. That's what the Rama is bending over backwards to tell you how to do tashbisa. But the problem is that the Rama's eitzah doesn't really do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. Because with Manashach, you're just okay doing bittul. Bittul and beer are the same thing according to Rashi and the Rambam. And according to Tosfos, it's nothing. According to Tosfos, nothing is nothing. The whole thing is nothing. Until Chatzos, everything is meaningless. So burning chametz before Chatzos, it's like blowing shofar before Shoshanim. It's meaningless in halacha. The only thing that it accomplishes is that there's no chametz around. So mainly you're not over by Rabbi Matzeh. So you can burn the chametz, you can be mafkin the chametz. It's the same circumvention. So the chayr, the Ramah is pilei plum. The whole Ramah is a pella. But the Ramah said it. The Ramah said it. So I have a kash in the Ramah. Kash, it's not my kash. The kash has been floating around for 500 years already. So no one really understands what the Ramah is talking about. Why the Ramah said it. So Lamai said the Ramah said it. The Ramah had some kind of lumdus why he said it. So Lamai said that's what the Midrash role is. The Midrash is that we try as best as we can to push off the Bitul Chametz until after the Bia Chametz. I told you 2 years ago, I told all the story last, you know. So 2 years ago, we had a very difficult day of Pesach, Levaya. So the Tamidim in the Shia passed away 2 years ago, so the Levaya was an Erev Pesach. So I couldn't burn the Chomech and do anything. I was at Levaya. So on the way back from the Levaya, it was around 11, 12 o'clock or so. So 11 o'clock, so I remember I was calling my kids to try to coordinate with them when the Chometz is going to be burnt, because I wanted to be here to this Ramah. On the one hand, I didn't want to be too late, because it was getting close to Shoshishis. So I had to remember, okay, cell phone can accomplish something. One or two things you can use for good for yourself. Not too many, but this was one. So you can coordinate the Minhag of the Ramah. Oh, that's why the Rebbe Shalom let us have cell phones, so we should be able to fulfill this Minhag of the Ramah properly, to make sure the guy at work, the guy in the car, knows exactly when the Chometz is being Nisra. So a kopanim, we fulfill this Minhag of the Ramah, even though we're not really sure we understand it. But if you have a guy who's not, he's afraid he's going to forget to do the whole bittul. So gavalt, he's going to forget to do the real bittul. So I'm stumped. It's better to do bittul earlier. So he won't fulfill this Ramah. I wouldn't risk missing out on the bittul. To do bittul de shaliach is shaky. It's a little bit questionable. But the Chara, one can raise a question, why are we doing bittul altogether in the daytime? We did bittul already. We did bittul the night before. The Gemara says in Psachim Davav Abedi Sereshivatel that after you finish B'dikas Chametz, you're supposed to be vatel on the spot. So why are we doing bittul a second time around? So the Rush writes that just in case you left over something at night, and if a person, he said in the olden days, a person finished B'dikas Chametz, so Mishnah says, Masha Nisha, the person wants to eat a little bit more for breakfast, so you leave it, so you put it away somewhere, no one's going to get to it. So you left one challah roll. What did you leave behind? How much food did they have in the olden days altogether? How much food did they have? So we have, everybody knows that, you know, the week before Pesach, it's very hard to find food in the house. Everything's, people stay home for Pesach, so it starts to get, you know, pizza stores start to become very, very popular hangouts. The amount of food that we have on the day before Pesach is probably more than your great-great-grandfather had the entire year in his house. So they didn't have that much food. So the little bit of food that they had, so they put aside. But we have so much. Guys still got boxes of cereal in the morning. Still got stuff floating around. There's human money in the morning. You got bagels. You got donuts. You got a lot of stuff. So we're afraid that you may end up not finishing all that chametz. And you may forget, and you may leave it by the side, and then you'll be a shalom by Rav Matzeh. the bittul that you did at night isn't really going to be chal on that chametz you're planning on eating. The bittul is chal on all the chametz that you don't care about, that kol chamira de lo yadana bay. But the chamira that's sitting on your table that you're planning on having for breakfast tomorrow isn't really covered by the night bittul. So we have a practice of doing bittul twice, but it's not our minhag. It's already from the rush. The rush already started this minhag of started this idea of doing a second bittul just as a safeguard in case there was things left over that weren't covered by the first bittul. So kol padim, the way everything plays out now, we understand pretty much the two procedures that we're doing, standard and Erev Pesach. We understand Bittul. Bittul is the procedure Midaraisa. Either Rashi's version of Bittul or Taisa's version of Bittul. We understand Bedika. Bedika 99% of the time is only Midarabana, unless you goofed and didn't do Bittul or it's too late to do Bittul, then Bedika can become Deraisa. But normally, 9 out of 10 times, Bedika is covered with Midarabana, and therefore it may be subject to certain kulas.
Rashi or the Rambam thinking to be with the
Shaliach Bittul? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe we'll get all you could be. I don't know. Then, putting aside everything we've been speaking about up to now, all of a sudden we find the Mishnah, Masechet Pesachim, and Daf Chaf Aleph, that introduces us to Machlekes HaTanaim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, how to get rid of Chametz. What method should you use to get rid of Chametz? So somehow we never heard of Daf Dal, we never heard of Daf Bez, all of a sudden Daf Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, by the way, there's a Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, what method should be used to get rid of Chametz? So the Chachamim say, B'chol Davar, and Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein bi chametz l'sreifa." The machlokes you learn from Nisa, not from Nisa. Kavachimim, Metzinut, Rosh, Hakeisha. Whole complicated sugya of Chavzayin that we skipped the whole daf there because we did it on the Chaf Aleph. A machlokes Rabbi Yehuda the Chum with the "Ein bi chametz l'sreifa." So how do you understand this machlokes in light of everything we've been talking about up until now? So here come the Bali Atosis and say, "Well, this machlokes makes a lot of sense because we just got finished telling you that the mitzvah of Tashbisu is not bittul. The mitzvah of Tashbisu was a physical destruction." And now one could argue what method of physical destruction is necessary. So the Chachamim say, Hash Pesasim B'chol Dabar. It says in the Chumash, Tashbisu. Tashbisu means to physically destroy. That's it. Torah doesn't say fire, it doesn't say water, it doesn't say anything. It says Tashbisu. Tashbisu means physical destruction. Rabbi Yehuda has to prove otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda has to prove a Chiddush that no, that it's not enough just to flush down the toilet, you have to mamish burn it. How did Rabbi Yehuda know that? So he learned it out from Naisa, but a drasha here, a drasha there, all derived from Naisa. But according to Taisus, the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is how to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Everybody agrees Tashbisu is not to do with bittul. Bittul is hefker. Everyone agrees Tashbisu is a physical destruction. And Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be a specific type of physical destruction. And the Chachamim say it need not be a specific type of physical destruction. But according to Rashi and the Rambam, that there never was a physical destruction on the table here. Bittul is good enough. But the Raisa Bittul B'Yamasagi, according to Rashi and the Rambam, if you'd ask Moshe Rabbeinu, so he would say to you, just be mevatel the chametz. What do you have to get rid of it for? There's no need to get rid of it. Be mevatel and leave it. Finish. Don't do anything. So where are the chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda coming off of to have a machlekes? They have a machlekes that had to do tashbisu. What does tashbisu have to do with anything? So that's what we quoted in Be'arichas earlier in the year. Who'd we go? The Bechaslinach, the Bechachayim, a group of Bechareinim who have this idea that maybe the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the chacham is not really the mitzvah of tashbisu. The mitzvah tashbisu is bittul, is b'chol dafer. Well, as long as you masalik daita from the chametz, that's good enough. Maybe the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham is a different for it. Maybe it's a machlekes in Hilchos Yisuri Hana. We know the mission in the end of Maseches Tamura. We spent a load of time on this earlier in the year. There are different Yisuri Hana that have to be disposed in different ways. Some in Nisrafim and some in Nikbarin. Pas b'chol is Nikbarin, or l'kila kerem is Nisrafim, etc. The whole list that the Mishnah gives us. So it could be that this is the nekudas of machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. It's not really a machlekes how to fulfill tashbisu. It's a machlekes chametz happens to be also b'ana. Since chametz is also b'ana, so it's important to get rid of it. Either it's mechruv to get rid of it, or it's a good idea to get rid of it, or it's a hetter to get rid of it. Rabbi Kiveg, Chassam Seifa, we spoke about many, many times. But there are dinim in Maseches Tamura about how to dispose of Isuri Hana. So that's the Machlekes HaTanaim. The Machlekes HaTanaim is nothing to do with Tashbisu. Tashbisu is already covered by Bittul. This is a separate Machlekes in Hilchas Isuri Hana. It's interesting, just with the way the Mishnayis are presented, just thought about it now. The Seyed HaDvarim, where we just set up the Mishnayis, it sounds that way a little bit. The first parak deals primarily with Bedika, the Shas Bedika, that's the opening line in the Mishnah. It talks about when you do Bedika's Chametz, and the Mishnah talks a little bit later on about But how you did bedikas chametz, and a little bit later on it talks about what have you made mistakes in bedikas chametz. You did bedikas, then the animals came and brought poor chametz back. The thrust of the first parak is pretty much bedikas chametz. Then the seventh parak starts to talk more about isuri hana. It's more of a focus on the fact that chametz is also to eat, and also chametz is also to derive benefit from. And it's only in the seventh parak where Rabbi Nachum are introduced. And Rabbi Nachum didn't put Rabbi Nachum into the first mishnah. Just thought about that. No, what do you think about that? Is that interesting? No, it sounds like that. It's more of a just dawned on me that idea that maybe just from the Seder Dvarim Mishnayos, it sounds a little bit like the Zacharonim, that the Machlekes Rabbi Nachum is not really a Bedikas Chametz issue. It's not really a destruction of Chametz issue. It's an Isur Hanah issue. It's what kind of Isur Hanah do we have on the table here? I don't know. Maybe just a possible thought. Anyway, getting back to the story. So at least we have an idea what Bedikas Chametz is. We have an idea what Bitul Chametz is. Now we come to the major question of when is all this supposed to be taking place? What's the timeline on Erev Pesach when all the above is supposed to happen? So the Mishnah begins by Orla Bosa Bekinis Chametz Deraneh. So Bedikas Chametz happens on the night before the night of Erev Pesach. That's not a Zman Min HaTorah. Nothing happens with the Raisa on the night of Erev Pesach. Zero happens with HaTorah. That's as clearly on the Rabbanon. That's why the Gemara asks the question later on in the Masechta. Why did the Chacham institute do Bedikas Chametz at night? They should have done it in the morning. So the Gemara explains there were very technical issues because first of all, people are around at night and it's going to be easier to use a candle at night. You're not going to have to get the Chacham stock in the daytime. So the Gemara gives you a whole shtick of Torah why they formulated the mitzvah dafka this way. But this is not a Zman Min HaTorah. The night of Yedal Nisan, Orla Basar is only Midir Rabbanan. What happens on the day of Erev Pesach itself? So then things start to happen Min HaTorah possibly. So here we have the Gemara that speaks about Richos, about the principle of Chatzos. The source for the idea of Chatzos being something is Ach Bi'am HaRishon. The word Ach means Achilek. So the Tosh Mapeh tells us that something magic happens at Chatzos. What happens at Chatzos? Your guess is as good as mine. A lot of different possible things could happen at Chatzos. So we have a major Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos about the mitzvah of Teshbisu. The Torah tells us to do Teshbisu. When are you supposed to do Teshbisu? Before Chatzos or after Chatzos? So Rashi and the Rambam say the mitzvah of Teshbisu is primarily before Chatzos. Why? It's L'shitasam. Since Rashi and the Rambam hold that Teshbisu is fundamentally Bitul Chametz, that's the primary way of fulfilling Teshbisu, Tevatlun. And the Gemara says the Feirish, you can't be Mevatel Chametz in the afternoon. Bitul Chametz isn't going to work for technical reasons later in the afternoon because it's Asa B'Hanah. We didn't even talk about this yet. So according to Rashi and the Rambam, by default, Tashbisu must be before Chatzos. If Tashbisu equals Bittul, and Bittul can't be after Chatzos, so put two and two together, obviously Tashbisu must be before Chatzos. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the Iker mitzvah of Tashbisu is Dafka before Chatzos. Does that mean it's not after Chatzos? Does that mean if a person finds Chametz after Chatzos, he can't be Mevatel at that point? Does it mean if he burns it, that's not a mitzvah? So we had a big machlokes about that, the Yehuda and the Sholin, we spent a lot of time about that, about what's the din according to Rashi and the Rambam after Chatzos. But before Chatzos is clearly the primary mitzvah. That's what the Rambam formulates the mitzvah, which is Esel Hashpas Chametz Konim Zman Konim Chatzos. Fine. What about according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, that Tashbisu and Bitul have nothing to do with each other. According to Tosfos, Tashbisu is physical destruction. You can destroy it before, you can destroy it after. So when is Tashbisu? So Tosfos is guessing. Tosfos says Mestametz after. Tosfos thinks that the Zman of Tashbisu is Dafke after Chatzos, Dafke not before Chatzos. So you have Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What exactly is Chatzos? Is Chatzos, according to some, maybe the end of the mitzvah? Or is Chatzos Dafka the beginning of the mitzvah? At the end of the day, there's no question that we get rid of Echametz before Chatzos. The Mishnah already says in the end of the first parak, Sarfim B'tchil Sheish. The Mishnah says, you have to already start to burn the Chametz even before Chatzos. Why is that? Why was such a rush to get rid of the Chametz? So according to Rashi, because we want to be Yotzei Tashbisu. According to Tosfos, why are we running? According to Tosfos, what are you rushing for? Forget, you're losing by rushing. By rushing the burning before Chatzos, you're losing out the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So why don't you just wait till after Chatzos? So the answer is obviously that the Chum didn't want that. The Chum were concerned. They didn't want people to have Chametz floating around after Chatzos. We're afraid you're going to eat it. We're afraid you may not burn it on time. So the Chum had a half a dozen different considerations why they made you jump the gun on the mitzvah. But according to Tosfos, when you burn Chametz, you're not being Yotzei any mitzvah. You're circumventing by Ravi Matzah, that's true. But you're not being Yotzei mitzvah. Because you're doing it before the time, you're doing it before Chatzos. But that's the way the Chum will misakin. That's what it says in the Mishnah. How could the Chum be misakin to do that? The Chum could tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah. The Torah says to wait till after Chatzos, and the Chum is saying don't. How could they do that? So the Menachas Chinuch says, Al Korach, you have to say that it's a yesh kof yachal chabim lachva dov min ha-tor b'shevel ta'aseh, that the Chabim told us not to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah before Zed on Shabbos, not to shake lulav on Sukkos on Shabbos, not to put on tefillin on Yad of Shem Yishogolius. The Chabim told us not to do a lot of mitzvahs for whatever reasons. They had different ksyagim and gzeiros and reasons why they instituted certain dinim. So they have the authority, even b'sheva, only b'sheva ta'aseh, to tell us not to do mitzvahs. So Mestama, that's the pshat in the takanah. Sarfim b'tchil sheish, when the Mishnah says sarfim b'tchil sheish, according to Rashi, there was no takanah. According to Rashi, of course you have to do Sarf Mitchil HaSheish. You got to do Yotzei Tashbisu. But according to Tosfos, the Sarf Mitchil HaSheish was a specific Takana Sachamim. Don't wait till after Chatzos. It's too risky to wait till after Chatzos. Burn before Chatzos, notwithstanding the fact that we're telling you to be Mevatel the Mitzvah of Tashbisu. Tafla, Yeshkoch Be'achom Lach Adom Metar B'Sheva Taser. The only problem is that this is what? Well, it's Sheva Taser because I'm not going to fulfill the Mitzvah. When Chatzos comes around, yeah, that's not what I say. So comes the Taz though, and the Chayyim should have a problem with this. The famous Taz, we spoke about this Taz in the Sugya of Skarim and Ramasurim. The Taz says that the only time the Chum have a right to be Oikir Mitzvah B'Shev El Taseh is that they're not Oikir in its entirety. Let's say when it comes to Shofar, the Chum didn't tell us not to blow Shofar or on a Tuesday, or Shana falls out on a Tuesday, because even though Midrabanu we should not be blowing musical instruments, Midrabanu and Yontif, but the Chum didn't have the authority to tell us not to blow Shofar ever, because to tell us not to blow Shofar would be tantamount to being Oker Mitzvah in its entirety. And the Chum don't have a right to do that. The Chum have a right to limit a Mitzvah, as I say. They can tell you, don't blow Shofar today, but blow next year. Don't shake Luluf today, shake it next year. But to tell you never to shake Luluf, tell you never to eat Matzah, tell you never to put on tefillin, even if the Chum had the greatest reason in the world, they couldn't tell you to do that. That's the Taz's famous Yisai, he says in a few places. If that's the case, says the Michas Chinuch, so here the Chum told us never to be Yitzit Tashbisu. The Chum told us every year, every Pesach, no Jew will ever fulfill Tashbisu. What right do they have to do that? That's overstepping the bounds of their authority. So the Michas Chinuch says, Mestam Yisrael is like this. Tashbisu is not a Chiyuv. You have a chuyif to be mashmash chametz. What if a guy eats a gluten-free diet all year long? He never eats chametz. All year he doesn't. He's allergic to wheat, so he never eats chametz all year long. He eats potatoes all year long. So if such a person who never ever eats chametz, you have a chuyif to go buy it because I eat chametz in Merton. You want to do it? You want to volunteer to do it? It's beautiful. It's nice. We'll give you a shkach. But in terms of being mechuyif, you're not mechuyif to do that. So when does the Taz say the chametz can't hold your hand, tie your hands, and say not to do a mitzvah? They can't tell you to never put on tefillin, because the Torah screams out, "Ukshatam liyosiyadah." The Torah says, "Yom Tru Yelochem." The Torah screams, "Lokach Yelochem Yom Arishon." So the Chacham can't tie your hands and say, "Cut that mitzvah out of the Torah," because the Torah says you have to do it. Tashbisu, the Torah never said you have to do it. The Torah says you have chometz, you get rid of it. You don't have chometz, you don't have to get rid of it. So the Mechas Chinuch says that's exactly what's happening. According to Tosfos, every year in, year out, whenever you say Tashbisu, because the Chum have tied our hands, and they have a right to do so, because Yesh Koch B'Yad Chum L'Chadom B'Tor B'Shev El Taseh. Even though it's an Akiva's Dover L'Gamrei, that's not called an Akiva's Dover, because it's not an absolute Chiyuv. So this is the Michas Chinuch's elaboration upon the Taz, upon the Tosfos. So what I say, when all the dust settles, no pun intended, dust, but start from Tchil HaSheish, that's what the Mishnah says. Either according to Rashi in the Torah, we serve with Chilas Sheish. According to Taisus with Rabbanu, we serve with Chilas Sheish. The Ma'aseh, that's what we do. We serve with Chilas Sheish. But we don't even do that, because we can't wait until Chilas Sheish, because the Rabbah tied our hands. If we wait till Chilas Sheish, if we wait till an hour before, that's fine within a Mishnah. But we want to do an extra bittul, because we followed the minhag of the Rosh. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't do a second bittul. The days of the Gemara, they ate their food, and then they mevatel chametz at night. That was it, whatever was left. They ate a challah next morning, they ate it and finished. They didn't do a second bittul. The second bittul was instituted much later, in the days of the Gehim, the days of the Rishonim. So we do a second bittul, and now the Ramah told us, we want to do that bittul after we do the Shreifas chametz. So now we're in a pickle. We can't wait till Tchil HaSheish. Because if we're going to wait till Tchil HaSheish, it's going to be too late to do that second bittul. Because the Gemara says in Vav Amidbeis that you can't do bittul after the Zman Isser. Why can't you do bittul after the Zman Isser? What's so terrible? It's not yours, it's not Shalom, not Shuso. We have all the things that we spoke about in the past. So we've created a scenario where the burning of the Chametz keeps on getting earlier than it should have been. It means really, Min HaTorah, according to Tosfos, you should burn the Chametz after Chatzos. But with the Rabbanon, they were misakin to burn it an hour earlier because we don't want to mess up on Chatzos. So, sarf mitchil hashesh. But then, the Rishonim added on, even that's no good. because you have to do a second bittul. So if you combine the Rosh's minig of doing the second bittul with the Ramah's chumrah of making sure to burn the chametz before you do that second bittul, so the middle of the burning of the chametz has to be before tchila sheish. So that's what we do. So we do not wait till tchila sheish to burn our chametz. We burn our chametz a half hour before, an hour before, earlier in the day, we burn our chametz. What if a person wants to burn the chametz right away? Let's say a person finds, walks around, collects his bread, whatever he did his biggest chametz. He's found a couple of pieces, a couple of Cheerios under the counter, whatever it is, and he's got his bag, peckle of chametz. He doesn't want to wait till the next morning. He's going to work the next morning. He's going to fly somewhere the next morning. So what should he do with his chametz? So let him burn his chametz right then and there. What's the big deal? Why can't he burn his chametz at night? Where does it say not let him burn chametz at night? So the Rambam writes that there's a minhag to burn the chametz in the daytime. Why? Where did that come from? He says it's dumyudas reifas nosa, because nosa also, you have to burn nosa by day. The pasuk says that nosa menu ad vayke beish tisrofu. You have to burn the nosa the following morning. So you don't burn nosa at night. So even a situation where it became nosa at night. Let's say if you have besar shlamim, so besar shlamim becomes nosa after 2 days and one night. If I bring a korban shlamim today, so I can eat it all day today. I can eat it all night tonight. I can eat it all day tomorrow until shkia. When shkia comes already, it's considered to be nosa. If I eat it after shkia, I'm chayav karis. But you don't burn it. It's not burnt until the following morning. So you see that there's a din of Sreifas Kodshim that's supposed to be dafka bayoyim. So comes the Ramon says, we're trying to mimic Sreifas Kodshim. Why? Because the whole mokar for Ein B'yachometz El Sreifah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is learned out from Nosa. Maybe we don't even pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but Tosis did. Machis Rabbi and Tosis, whether we follow Rabbi Yehuda or not. So according to the Talei Tosis, who we follow Rabbi Yehuda, so we're going to do dafka Sreifah. So the Ramah says we're going to mimic that Sreifah, we're going to do a Sreifah nicer, Sreifah's Chavish Dafka Bayayim. But the Ramah writes it's not really true. The Ramah writes we don't find this in the Gemara and the Rishon, it's not really beferish that there is such a din, a Nikra din. If a guy really wants to burn the Chavish at night, may technically speaking he would be able to do so. But we have a minig that we wait until the daytime. That's the same source of the minig where we have a minig to burn a Dafka with wood. Because there are some who say that Sreifah's nicer had to be ala Eitzim, had to be Dafka with wood. Rashash tries to show you why that may or may not be true. So if you hold that, we're trying to mimic Sreifas Noiser, because that's the mokka for the din of Sreifah for Chametz Kohen Tribuda. And Sreifas Noiser was Bayoim, and Sreifas Noiser was Eitzim, so we're going to use Eitzim also. So that's the Rashash's Kasha. When they speak about the Balamor says that eating Chametz is a kiyum of destroying Chametz. So how could that be? If you hold that you need Eitzim, so how is that a kiyum of Eitzim? So the answer is given. It's more of a Purim Torah than Pesach Torah. Your other mates are Soda. That person is also like Eitzim. That's also like burning the Chametz. That's hard to swallow. No pun intended. Hard to swallow that answer. Anyway, the Pasha says the whole Eitzim story is not true. The whole thing, Hakopin Kol, is not true. That's what the minig is. But there's always those yeshivas that send out the B'digas Chametz sets. Right? Everyone knows the B'digas Chametz set. What's in the B'digas Chametz set? So there are three things in the B'digas Chametz set. So there's the wooden spoon, which is the whole reason why they put the wooden spoon in there is to be able to have Eitzim to burn, which is basically worthless, that wooden spoon, because you can't fit even two pieces of chametz onto it. So anyway, you have to use something else. So the spoon is worthless. What's the other thing they put in there? The feather. If you lived in a place where you walked around collecting crumbs with a feather, so it's not as we're not looking for the little crumbs. We're looking for the big Cheerios. You pick it up with your fingers and put it in. And what else did they give you? A candle is also worthless, because who does biggest comes with a candle today? You're not really eating with a candle properly. You have to do it with a flashlight. You want to start with a candle, zeichel, minigav esein, okay, but the real biggest comes has to do with a flashlight. Otherwise, there's not as that. You can't do a real biggest comes. We're not handy with candles. In the olden days, people used to walk around with candles all the time. They knew how to maneuver candles. But it's not as that. Candles you burn down your house. So there are three things in this thing. There are four things in the things. And what else is in there? The piece of paper with the kol chamira. Right, which ends up getting, they burn it. Everyone's machmir to burn it. We spoke about this. The machmir to burn it, violating the yisad deraisa of mimochik shem Hashem. So they're machmir to burn it, unless they have the chametz of mashal on it. So anyway, so you have four things in the set, and all four of them are worthless. Nice, it's enough of a project. Anyway, it raises money, fundraiser. But there's nothing you can really do with it anymore. There was a guy floating around town who offered to give me one. I said, I don't really use it, I don't need it. So he left me in my house, like 10 of them. What do you do with them? Okay, anyway. So we know that Chatzos plays an important role. Chatzos is very important in terms of Tashbisa. We're just not sure which side of Chatzos plays such a role. Then there's a further machlekes that we've shown him. Does Chatzos play a role in terms of Barovei Matzeh? So here we had a big machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. So the Rambam seems to say, and Rashi in one place, and Bava commonly says the Beferish, although Rashi in Psachim doesn't sound that way, Rashi in Bava Kamad of Chavtes is the Beferish, and the Rambam sounds that way also, that not only is there a mitzvah tashbisu around Chatzos or something, but that's when by Rav Yematzah kicks in also. The minute Chatzos comes, right after Chatzos, if you own Chametz, you're in violation of by Rav Yematzah. And the Rabbi disagrees. He says, Shivas Yom Ksiv. Rabbi quotes the apostle says, Shivas Yomim. So the Rambam also knew it said Shivas Yom. It said Shivas Yom in his Sefer Torah also. So what's the kasha? The Rambam obviously understood that the drush of Ach B'yom HaRishon Tashbisu is Megala to me, that not only is there Tashbisu, Chatzos, either before or after, whatever it is, but that's Megala to me about by Rav Yematzah also. How is that Megala to me about anything? Just because that's true about Tashbisu, how does that affect by Rav Yematzah? So this seems to be part of the old story, this package deal, that Tashbisu by Rav Yematzah somehow go hand in hand, that it's inconceivable, there's already Tashbisu, there's already Chatzos, and you can tell me, no, by Rav Yematzah doesn't kick in. No, it all goes together, there's Tashbisu, there's by Rav Yematzah, it's all the same. Basically, these are two sides of the same coin, Tashbisu by Rav Yematzah, one's a lav, one's an essay, but they pretty much go hand in hand. So again, in the afternoon of Pesach, there are a lot of exciting things happening. There are Tashbisu happening either before or after. There's by Rav Yematzah, according to many Rishonim, happening. Is there anything else exciting that's happening? So we have a big machlokes at Tanoim, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and Daf Kaf Ches, which is the sugya that we're still learning, right? We're still pretty much in that Mishnah. We'll probably hopefully be in the Mishnah for a few months. The machlokes, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, about the Isra of Achilas Chametz. When does the Isra of Achilas Chametz min HaTorah kick in? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a lav, an independent lav, a seichel of Chametz, to eat Chametz in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. And Rabbi Shimon never heard of that law. Rabbi Shimon says that's not what the pasuk is talking about. So it's machlekes Rabbi Shimon whether we follow Rabbi or Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, according to those who show him, except to Rabbi Shimon, it means you're allowed to eat chametz in the afternoon of Pesach. It's mutter. So we had a further machlekes Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfos had a famous comment in Pesachim Kaf Ches that says that you're not allowed to eat chametz in the afternoon according to Rabbi Shimon. It's not a law, but it's an asay. It's an iser asay of tashbisu. Tashbisu means to destroy chametz. When I sit and eat a slice of pizza, I'm not destroying the pizza, I'm eating the pizza. So anytime I consume the pizza in a not derech hashbasa, that's the iser, that's the bittul essay of tashbisu. So at the end of the day, according to Tosfos, you can't eat chametz min haTorah in the afternoon. Either it's a lav or it's an essay, but it's also min haTorah. And other Rishonim say it's not true. The min haTorah, there is no such iser. As we said before, the Baal Mor says, fakir. Not only is there no iser, there's a mitzvah. That the more chametz you eat in the afternoon, the better you're off, according to Rabbi Shimon. Lamaisa, we don't follow that. Lamaisa, we don't eat chametz in the afternoon. The Chacham clearly didn't want us to. Even according to the Baal Amor, that's not what's supposed to happen, as the Mishnah says, sort of from B'tchil HaSheish. So obviously, under normal circumstances, there shouldn't be any chametz around the afternoon. But Imtum Salomi, you had a piece of chametz left over, and you went ahead and you ate it in there, basically in the afternoon, what were you over? So according to the Rambam, Upasas, like Rav Yehuda Yechai Malchus, you're over a lot. According to the Baal HaTosfos, you're only over Nisar Esei. According to the Baal Amor, you're Mekayim, Mitzvah D'Oraisa. You can make a bracha, be a chametz, when you eat the pizza in the afternoon. So that minig is not like the Baal Amor. We paskin, it's either D'Oraisa of a lav or D'Oraisa of an Esei, or a bun or something. We paskin that chametz is off limits, even in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So the Mid'Oraisa starts the Chatzel, so the Mid'Rabban, and the Chavim made it a little bit earlier. That's what the Mechalik said Tanoim, in the first parak, how early did they make it? So we paskin that they split between the Yisrachil and the Yisrahanah. The Yisrachil, they made 2 hours early, and the Yisrahanah, they only made 1 hour early. So we paskin the halacha, Ochlin kol dalet, tolin kol chamesh, and start from B'tchil HaSheish. That's the way we accept the halacha. That's the timeline in Erev Pesach. Ochlin kol dalet, the first 4 hours into the day. Because the machlekes, how do you calculate those hours? The machlekes in Magen Avraham and the Gra, it's not a machlekes in Luchos Pesach, it's a machlekes in Kol Tarkula. Whether the day is measured from Halosah Shachar till Tzeis, or the hours of the day are measured from Netz till Shkia. So we follow the Gra, that's what our minhag is, that's why we follow for Kriyashma. We always follow that for Kriyashma. All our shuls, Halavai, we should follow that for Kriyashma. But unless a person davens Vesikin every week, unless a person davens Ashkama really early, so a good chunk of the year, he's not going to be Yotzei the Magen Avraham's Ban Kriyashma. I gavens at the 8:30 minion, so he's half the year he's going to miss. If you have to grow also. So a person has to, if you really pass it like the grow year long, so the chari should be able to pass like the grow in Erev Pesach also. There's a minute that many people have that Erev Pesach we become, you know, Pesach comes a little more from. We build something to Rabbanon. The rice is not the chatzais. The minute is that we're more machmir for chametz to Rabbanon than we are for kriyash medir rice. That became the mindset. Whatever the reason is, that's what we follow. So that's why many people, when they're machmir on the zmane hayom for Erev Pesach, so they introduce the Magen Avraham Zmanim. But meikra then we pass like the grow Zmanim. For Kriyash with the rice we're following that, so for sure for Chametz Meikra then we would be permitted to follow that as well. It's very funny that people who always follow the grow all of a sudden sometimes dig the mug in the front out of their hats when it works out nicely. So let's say for plaga mincha, so they want to avoid type of the sasir problems in the summertime, so they have a minion based on the mug in the front's plug, which works out better in terms of the timing. If you hold like the Magen Avraham, I have no problem. I'm not sure if you're back in the Magen Avraham's mountain for everything else, I have no problem to daven mincha before his plav and the Ma'ariv after his plav. But if you don't, if the same guy who davened at the Magen Avraham minion the next morning for Shacharis, he's going to daven at the 9 o'clock Shacharis, and he's relying on the grow, so it's a little bit of a joke. So that's the tata disaster. It's a double tata disaster. So I don't know. So you have to make up your mind who you're going to follow. So most people today follow the grow, Mi'ikra Din. So you follow the grow, Mi'ikra Din, most of you follow the grow. The minig has become to be a little bit more machmir in our place. Okay, I'll stop here. What do you guys want tomorrow? What? Seder, tomorrow Seder? And then maybe Chol Hamoed the next day a little bit.